Pleasant evening to each of you. We're delighted you're here tonight, and we have this opportunity again to study the Word of God together. Thankful for the lesson Brother Guy presented this morning, and appreciate so much as he reminded us of the fact that our Christ is risen. Amongst those who are visiting tonight is a very dear friend of mine, Josiah Peeler, and his wife Danielle, and boys Ezra and Gideon. We're so thankful for them. Josiah has been such an encouragement to me through the years. He's a fine young man, and he is such a studious individual. He is just a sharp mind, but he's so humble and tender-hearted. And I want Josiah and Danielle to know how much I appreciate and love them and the work they do and the encouragement they give this old boy. In fact, the business, when I try to say some words tonight, he'll know how to really say them. I just sometimes say wagon wheel and go real fast. But if you have your Bible in the book of Mark in the 11th chapter, notice if you will, beginning at verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage, and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside of the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosening the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now then, if you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to the Revelation letter and the 19th chapter. I had asked Brother Stewart to lead Hosanna, but he talked about Hallelujah. And we're going to see a word that is associated with that in the Revelation letter in the 19th chapter dealing with the praise of God. When in verse 1 he says at the latter part, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Then if you drop down to verse 3, again you see the word Hallelujah. Take note of that or underscore that in your Bible and let that be upon your mind. Then drop down to verse 4 at the latter part and notice the statement, Amen. And then they say again, Hallelujah. In other words, they said, let it be, praise the Lord. And then he says in verse 5, praise our God. And then again in verse 6, Hallelujah at the latter part, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. You know, what I want to talk to you about tonight is after the Hosannas, and before the Hallelujahs, what happens in life? And I want us to examine some things in the life of Jesus. I want you to take note that when Jesus was coming into the city of Jerusalem in the book of Mark and the 11th chapter, this is often identified as the triumphal entry. Here Jesus is entering, and notice how the people respond. Notice that the people begin to take their certain clothing items and spread it on the road in verse 8. And notice that they also cut down branches and spread it on the road. They're giving him a triumphant entry. And then notice the phrase, they cried out, some going before and some following, saying, Hosanna. Now we just sang the song Hosanna, but do we even know what the word means? You know, it's always good to get an understanding. But if you want to know what the word means, go back to the 118th Psalm. And when you come back to the 118th Psalm, notice, if you will, verse 26. In verse 26, the psalmist said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. It is a cry for salvation because look at verse 25. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. He says it is a prayer for salvation. But when you come to the book of Mark in the 11th chapter, the people are saying salvation is here. When they see Jesus coming, they have in their mind, He's going to be the King. You know how I know that? Because it's written in John 12, 13. In John's account of Jesus coming into the city, notice it says in verse 13, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. But the problem they had is they thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. Their thought was he would save them from Roman occupation. And they had in mind that Jesus had come to eliminate the problems of the Romans and set up an earthly kingdom, but Jesus came to establish an everlasting kingdom, as Daniel said in Daniel 2. And you'll remember that he said in John 18:36, His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. He said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, My disciples, My people would fight. But My kingdom's not of here. He has an eternal kingdom. He didn't come to save the people from Roman occupation. He came to save mankind from sin. So that's the first thing I want us to think about. But the second thing I want to put into your mind is the excitement of that day. The people spreading out their clothes and crying out, Hosanna! Very thrilled to see Jesus. But have you ever thought about what can change in a week's time? Have you ever thought that they're crying out, Here He is, the One to save us, and by the end of the week, they're crying out when He is on the cross, If you are the Son of God, save yourself! What a difference from save us, salvation is here at the beginning of the week, to why don't you save yourself if you say who you are? Now then, I want you to think about what Jesus does after the Hosannas. Have you ever wondered that last week of Christ, some of the things that He had to face? First of all, in Mark chapter 11, you can begin at verse 15, and you'll find where Jesus comes and He cleanses the temple. And as you read down through verse 18 of Mark 11, Jesus looked at the people who had taken the temple and made it nothing more than a den of thieves. He looked at people who were making profit on the name of God, who were taking God so that they could have an exorbitant price on the lambs and on the doves and anything they sold. And Jesus looked at them and said, You have turned something holy into something that is wrong. But then if you take your Bible, notice after the Hosanna ceased, not only did Jesus cleanse the temple, but notice the authorities began to try to have Him condemned. If you drop down to verses 27 to 33 of Mark chapter 11, you'll remember that they begin to seek opportunity to have Him condemned, and they begin to ask question after question, trying to trip Him up, trying to trap Him. And they said, By what authority do you do these things? And Jesus said, Let me ask you a question. And the reason Jesus wanted to ask them a question is to put them on their toes. If you want to know by what authority I'll do this, let me ask you something and you tell me. He said, The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Well, they were afraid to answer that because the people thought of John as a prophet. And they thought, Well, we do not know. And Jesus said, If you're not going to answer me, I'm not going to answer you. But notice they had already started trying to condemn Him before that. Take your Bible for just a moment and look, if you will, in the book of Matthew in the 26th chapter. And this is something that stood out to me in my study, and I hope it's interesting to you. Notice in Matthew chapter 26 that the Bible says in verse 3, Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill Him. Now look at verse 5 carefully. But they said, Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. But you know when they did have Jesus finally executed? Is exactly during the feast. You know why? That was God's will. Because God said at the fullness of time in Galatians 4, God sent forth His Son so that we could be saved. To die for our sin. At the right time. And Jesus was on the cross about the time they'd be slaughtering the lambs in the temple. Because He was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Now then, when they cried out, Hosanna, what a day. But what a difference a few days make when Jesus is they're trying to condemn Jesus and have Him thrown and have Him killed. But then notice in your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 23rd chapter, Jesus is weeping and warning about the destruction of Jerusalem. And notice what he begins to say in verse 37. And it's a very important statement that Jesus makes. And I would that we had time to examine it more in depth, but just for a moment, look at Matthew 23 and verse 37 beginning. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Where does that go back to? Psalm 118:26. Now then, have you ever thought about after the hosannas, Jesus had to face something else? Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and had the Last Supper with his disciples in Matthew 26, verses 26 to 30. And he begins to tell them, I'm going to go to the cross. He'd already told them this time and time again, and they didn't believe him. And Jesus is inching closer and closer to being nailed to a tree. And notice Jesus said, I want you to institute this supper as a memorial for me. Until I come again, as Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians 11. You remember my sacrifice, what I'm about to do for you. Then in Matthew 26, in about verse 36, you see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you see Jesus as he's praying to the Father, knowing what's about to happen, knowing he's about to be arrested, knowing he's about to be belittled and mistreated and treated in such a horrendous way, that Jesus is praying, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me, but not my will, thy will be done. Then you see the betrayal of Jesus in Matthew 26, 47, when Judas came and placed that hypocritical kiss upon his cheek. Ever thought about being betrayed by a kiss? You talk about someone stabbing you in the back, can you imagine one coming up and kissing you to betray you? I think that probably hurt more than every slap they put on his face when the one who was his disciple kissed him to betray. But then in verse 57 of Matthew 26, you have the trial. And it was an unjust, unfair trial. And then in Matthew 26, beginning at verse 69 to 72, you have Peter denying him three times. After the hosannas, Jesus faced a lot of grief. But then if you take your Bible, think about how some who cried out in Mark 11, Hosanna. In Matthew 27, beginning about verse 20, they begin to cry out, crucify. In verse 20, remember the chief priest came to the mob and said, make sure that we're on the same page. We want him crucified. And we read in verses 27 and 28, when Pilate said, what shall I do with him? They said, have him crucified. Can you imagine going from Hosanna, salvation is here, our Lord is here, our King is here, to if you are who you say you are, come down from the cross. I won't take that. I want to make three or four lessons for us and the lessons yours. You know, sometimes we have moments in life where we feel revived and we feel spiritually strong and we feel like we're growing and we have that moment where we are excited about serving the Lord and we have the opportunity to worship and to be edified and to build us up in the most holy faith. And what a joy it is, like this morning, again to see a crowd together who have like faith and a like love for our Father, who have come together for the same purpose to glorify our Father. And I'll tell you what a joy it is to be able to be together. And may we never take for granted that blessing. I'll tell you, after COVID, I learned one thing. I see the purpose of us coming together is a very important purpose. Because I miss being with brothers and sisters in Christ. I see my need of being uplifted and edified. But I'll tell you, after we sing Hosanna, and we're dismissed, and we go back into the world, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what, I think every day we need to work on living out our faith. And I think every one of us could work on making sure that we are living in a way that we proclaim, that we live in a way to show what we proclaim we believe. Every day we have opportunities to let our light shine, to do good, to tell others about the Lord. And it's when we're faced with daily tasks that we must ask, have I praised God with my life today? Secondly, I want you to think about how much can change in just a week's time. You can be on top of the world one day, and just the next day, your world can be collapsing. That it doesn't take much time, that one day you can be there and everything seem fine, and the next day you can look around and there be nothing but heartache. One day your family's healthy, and then with just a moment of time and just a few snaps of a finger, a family member could become sick or die, and we have a grief and we have heartache and we have trouble. And I'll tell you something. There's a lot of heartache in this world. There's a lot of things in this world right now that cause grief. It's one thing to sing Hosanna, but after we leave, I want to know, my friend, how are we going to respond when the trials come? How are we going to respond when persecution comes? You'll remember that the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live righteous in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say might. He said will. And I'll tell you something. This world is becoming more and more secular. This country is becoming more and more secular. And I'll tell you one thing we have to remember as the people of God is that we answer to God. And if we're going to sing Hosanna, we better mean it. But there's something else. We need to be thankful every day for salvation. You ever thought about that's what keeps you going? When you get up in the morning and the Lord has blessed you with another day, have you ever just bowed your head and thanked the Lord for another day of opportunity, thanked Him for the salvation that's available through Christ, that if you've been baptized into Christ, you've had your sins blotted out, you're a child of the King, you're a child of the Lord, you're a son through faith, and you're a son, child of the Lord, and you're able to praise Him, you're able to walk with Him, you're able to serve Him. As Brother Guy quoted from Acts 4:12, of Christ that we have salvation. But the days can lead to the greatest of moments. You ever thought about the Hosannas look dark on Crucifixion Friday? But come Sunday, it's hallelujah. From Hosanna to hallelujah. Sometimes is a lot of trials faced. But I'll tell you when the greatest thing is when you finally go home and you're before the throne of God singing hallelujah. I've been with people who've been dying. And one thing I'll never forget is the voice of some of them saying, I'm ready to go home. And when they mean home, they mean they're ready to meet the Lord. But before we go, we better be ready. And we better be on this side, say, Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. So that we one day can sing hallelujah. Praise be to God. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel tonight, we pray you do so as together we stand and sing.